Poised for Exit is a show for business owners who want to achieve a successful exit based on their own terms. Your business exit will likely be the biggest financial transaction of your life, and for most, you'll have one shot at doing it right. The topics and guests we feature and the stories they share will provide valuable ideas and strategies to improve operations and grow enterprise value so you can achieve the best possible exit outcome. Now here's your host, award-winning certified exit planning advisor, Julie Keyes.
Welcome everyone to Poised for Exit, the exit planning podcast show. We have a special edition of Poised for Exit for you today. A partner from one of our very important sponsors will be interviewing a client of hers to share the journey of how they became an ESOP company and what they've done to make the transition successful. We're going to hear from them right after we hear a word from our show sponsors.
Right now, there's a record number of buyers looking for businesses, and many businesses are selling at a premium. To get a free, confidential business valuation so you'll know what your business might be worth, contact a broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors at 612-455-0880. We're Minnesota's largest seller of companies. Let us help you maximize your life's work. Call 612-455-0880 or visit sunbeltmidwest.com.
What we see with many businesses is that they've never gotten marketing to work consistently, and the marketing they do doesn't meaningfully impact their bottom line. Data approaches it differently by partnering with clients for long-term, sustainable marketing solutions. They start with a consultative, crawl, walk, run approach that helps you scale your marketing efforts naturally. Data provides marketing for the long-time success of your business to tell your story in a compelling way and to make sure the value you bring is apparent to everyone. Go to data.com for more information. That's data.com.
TrustPoint will design and manage a 401k plan that fits your company's needs. They handle everything from record keeping and investments to employee education and ongoing administration. And they take on the highest level of fiduciary responsibility to ensure your 401k plan is compliant. You already have plenty to keep you up at night. Your 401k plan should not be one of them. Visit TrustPointInc.com for more details.
For business owners, it can be overwhelming to start planning a transition or exit strategy, but it's so important to avoid unwanted outcomes and unexpected tax bills. The CPAs at JAK, John A. Knutson & Company, can guide you and help make sense of the numbers. Our firm was established over 90 years ago, and we've assisted countless companies with ownership transitions. Leaving your business is a process that takes time, so contact us today to discuss your situation. Visit our website at jakcpa.com. That's jakcpa.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back in the studio, and as I said in the opener, we have a very special edition of Poised for Exit today. I would like to introduce to you Kyla Hansen, who is a partner with JAK CPAs, and as you know, are a very important show sponsor for Poised for Exit, has been for a long time. She is going to be working with me today as a guest host, and we're going to be speaking with her client, Andy Yetzer, who is the CFO with YTS Companies. So I am super excited about this. We're going to hear Andy's story and the company evolving into an employee-owned firm and everything that went along with that process. So I'm going to ask you to take it away here, Kyla. This is something I don't do very often, but excited to do it. I think it just really helps our listeners to hear the story from the advisor-client relationship and perspective and really showcase the work that you do, because JAK is such a great firm and you guys do such important work.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a lot of fun working with our clients. So happy to have Andy here. JAK's worked with YTS for many years and was involved for quite a while about a potential transition that you guys worked through. So Andy, do you want to start out by giving us some background about YTS?
Yeah, our ESOP YTS Enterprises launched in 2021. And ultimately the ESOP was in the works for many years, as you know, Kyla. And ultimately we have three different operating businesses that kind of roll up into the ESOP. We have YTS Companies, which is a traditional tree service out of Maple Grove. We have a site and right-of-way clearing business called YTS Clearing out of Brooklyn Park, and we have an animal bedding mill in Little Falls. So all kind of wood-related, but different industries in a sense. And yeah, we were really excited to to launch the ESOP, like I said, it was many years in the works, here we are, and we're not looking back.
Yeah, and it was exciting because you guys thought about becoming employee-owned for quite a while and even did some restructuring many years ago in mm-hmm. preparation for it. So how did you guys decide that employee ownership was the path for you guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's something we had to kind of reflect on a lot ourselves as we went through the journey. So Keith Yetzer is the founder of the business and is a cousin of mine. And he partnered up actually with my dad in 2013. And they had worked together for many years at a different company and built a really strong, successful business together. And they both, when they partnered up with this business, they just felt really strongly that, great companies are really made up of great people. And they didn't know a lot about ESOPs, but what they did know, they really liked in the sense that it just aligned so well with what they saw drove success in businesses is that, really good people working together. And they felt like, people should have a stake in these businesses they're a part of building. And so it was just a really natural fit.
Yeah. Employee ownership is so powerful to give back to your employees in a real way. I think it's awesome. So it did take a while to become employee owned. There were some obstacles over time. Do you want to share some of those?
Yeah. I'll keep it brief. I think the biggest obstacle was kind of going into 2019. We were hoping to launch the ESOP in 2019, and we ultimately had a really difficult finish to 2018. And it was actually a meeting with you guys. I remember that we kind of had to, hit the brakes a little bit, and it just wasn't the right time, And I in your book, Julie, the chapter 4, just spoke to me. It was because that was the position that we were in, I think, where we really had to reevaluate our businesses. I think up until that point, the vision, in a sense, of the businesses was we were going to be an ESOP, and we worked with some great consultants that just challenged us to really establish a more clear vision. And we really worked on that with our people, and we realized the ESOP supports our vision. It's a part of it in a way, but we really, established a vision, revisited our core values. And, from there, it really has been a kind of an incredible, journey, and we've seen incredible results to the point where we were able to actually launch the ESOP in 2021.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to work on with you, and you built quite a advisory team, including myself. Yep. We had weekly, bi-weekly calls. Yep. Walking through the process. Yep. Do you want to talk about the advisors you had?
Yeah, there? Absolutely. We got to start with you guys and JK. You guys just were such a blessing for us, and actually, we just started working with you guys right before I had started full-time at YTS, and I remember meeting with you guys before I was even working as a full-time employee there. It was so valuable just to have, obviously, your guys' experience from an accounting standpoint, but just the connections that you helped us make in building out the rest of the advisory team was huge. And also Chartwell mm-hmm. serving as our financial advisor has just been, a wonderful blessing. And Tim Cleary and his team over there have been amazing to work with. And through you guys and Chartwell, connecting us with Bard and Atlas Legal Services, that really was the core team, accounting, advisory and legal.
And it's a lot of fun when clients allow us to be a part of the team and collaborate, have the attorneys on the call, the valuation firm, the accountants. We could talk about tax impacts if you do it this way versus that way, but then, the attorney would have feedback, the other way. So you could really make informed decisions as yep. as you went along, I felt.
Yeah, one of my favorite sayings when it comes to this and anything really is you don't know what you don't know, right? And so the way that our team of advisors was able to work together and really approach it from an educational perspective, there was a ton we didn't know going into it. And so helping us along, reminding us there's no stupid questions, even though sometimes you felt like the questions were kind of stupid. And we just learned so much, and it really was an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. We certainly enjoyed it. And you've even expanded your advisory team more so in that you brought in some independent board members.
Yes.
As well.
Yep. Yeah, as a part of the ESOP trustee agreement, we needed to add one independent board member. And we ended up meeting with a handful of people, and we ended up actually hiring two independent board members. And both of them have just been wonderful to work with, and it's been eye-opening having people from outside the business that can bring their expertise and skill sets. And going back to the initial advisory team again, both of the board members were actually referred to us, one by you and one by Jeff, actually, on the banking side of it. But that's just another good example of having a strong advisory team, is how they can, you know, you're doing this stuff all the time, and you have a lot of great connections, and you know people that you would recommend to work with. And that's ultimately the way direction we end up usually going when we're looking for new partnerships.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Andy, how has the company been impacted? I'm just thinking about the conversation that you're having here is awesome. I'm sure that because you're a few years down the road, there's a before and after, right? Mm. What does that look like right now?
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, because I think that's a big thing with ESOPs is, you know, you know, what changed? Does it feel different now that people have a stake in it? And I think for us, it didn't feel like a huge change once the ESOP launched, because when I, you know, going back to 2019, when we really refocused on our core values and established our vision, we really, you know, we had a lot of great people who really had an ownership mentality, and who really, again, how they, you know, what their values were aligned so well with us, that the ESOP really kind of just cemented what we'd been working on for a long time with our people. And so in terms of what changed, I would say the biggest thing is just, you know, we're probably more selective with who we bring in. We've realized how valuable our culture and our core values and our vision are to us. And we all have a responsibility to protect it. And so it's really, I think if anything there, you know, we talk about, we went from coworkers to partners, you know, when the ESOP launched. And so it's been a really fun journey, and we're excited to see where it goes from here.
So has that really changed like your leadership dynamics now that you're employee owned?
It's a little different with independent board members. The board meetings are a little more formal, which is great for us. I think it just helps us. You know, the thing I really appreciate about ESOPs in general, you hear a lot about the fact employees are invested in the performance of companies due to that factor. And I think what's undersold a little bit is the performance of ESOPs due to all the other stuff that companies have to do, right? So you talk about, you know, the forecasting out further 5 years or more, you know, establish or bringing in independent board members, having a, you know, really solid team of advisors, working with the trustee, you know, those sort of things we've just learned so much from. And I think, yeah, from a leadership standpoint, again, we're looking at it as, you know, we want to grow the business to give our people more opportunities and to continue to build on what we started here.
Yeah, awesome. So when you became employee-owned, are there any tips or best practices for communicating with employees, this big change?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the theme of the conversation, but really partnership comes to mind. We were connected with a great organization called Certified EO, who really specializes in working with companies to provide really customized but somewhat standardized communications, really professional. So for us, you know, it was great because they did a lot of the heavy lifting, and we got just kind of tailor it to our specific plan in our company. And the other thing is just being committed to investing the time in it. You know, I don't think there's a perfect game plan for how to best communicate it. We just picked, we set aside time where we'd spend, you know, full day meetings with our entire company, and just, you know, tried to explain the mechanics of the ESOP and what it means to them. And then also trying to convey what it means to the company long term. And it's like anything, there's, you know, it's fairly complex. Try to keep it simple. And over time, I think if you're consistent with that communication, you're going to get more and more traction, and people are going to continue to understand kind of the benefit for themselves and the company.
Yeah. And I like to high level explain it. You know, it's like a form of a retirement account. It's just you're invested mainly in the beginning and in just the company stock.
Yes. You know. That is something we found really helpful. It's comparing it to a 401k in a sense, or an employer contribution in a 401k. And I think that helps people wrap their minds around it. And from there, then once they grasp that we have control, you know, we have the control to drive this thing. We're not dependent on the stock market. You know, I think we're really starting to see some of that traction.
Yeah. Has the word kind of gotten out too with maybe potential prospective employees, right? Because there's certain employees that you know, when we talk about the best and brightest, they're kind of looking for that opportunity.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm really passionate about ESOPs, and I think that it really is going to continue to get more and more popular, because I think in this day and age, people are looking for more than just a paycheck. They want to be invested in something. We put so much time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears into what we do for our work that, you know, people deserve to have a stake in that. And I think for us, we've really grown our team mainly through referrals. And so if anything, it's like, you know, it's another thing people can take to people they know to you know, help try to get them in here. So we're looking, you know, we're pretty selective with the people that we bring in. And so we, you know, even if it means a little bit slower growth in order to really bring the right people in, that's kind of our focus. But yeah, I think it's starting to get around a little bit, and definitely helps with that side of
definitely.
It.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then on the tree service side, is that primarily residential or kind of across the board? Or?
That goes back to kind of 2019 with some of the takeaways there when we had to focus on the business. We were primarily residential at that point, and that was really kind of the starting point of moving more towards primarily commercial. So we kind of did a full flip, and now we're probably over 90% commercial and utility, really, is the two areas that we're focused on.
Sure,
in that
was what I thought, but I wanted to make sure that our listeners knew that. So.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to know, sorry, I don't mean to be jumping
in
here.
Yeah.
Okay, you're an ESOP now, and so you're second gen, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What does the future look like for the company?
Well, so the cool thing about ESOPs is there's a lot of flexibility with the structure of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Keith is our founder, and he's technically he's my dad's cousin, but there's about a 14-year age difference. And so for us, the model that JAK and Chartwell was able to design, we're able to kind of accommodate two different timelines, which is really nice. Mm. So our goal right now, we have YTS Enterprises is where the ESOP formed, and that's 100% employee owned. And our goal is to get all of the operating businesses 100% employee owned. And so that we kind of have a plan to do that over the next 5 to 7 years. And from there, we'll see where we can take it. You know, we have a lot of aspirations, but we'll see where our people take it. You know, we'll do it as a team. So,
excellent. I know that there are listeners out there who are business owners who are considering ESOP, or maybe they haven't, but now they're hearing your story and they're like, maybe I should reconsider that. For the two of you, maybe just give us a couple of action items, a couple of takeaways that you think for any owner out there or a group of owners that might be thinking about doing this, what are a couple of things that they need to think about right away?
So I can start with, it's really general for any business owner looking for a transition, is do some high level value work on the front end before you get too far in. Mm-hmm. Just get a range. Is it going to be enough? Or do you just wait and reevaluate, figure out how to grow that value? Because you don't want to get too far in.
No, yeah. No. It seems too that's sort of a motivator right now for a lot of business owners who are thinking about, you know, moving on in some way, whatever their transition planning looks like, because they're realizing that maybe the business isn't worth what they actually thought it was worth. Yeah, yeah. So working on the value for sure.
Yeah, and value is such a subjective, you know, thing. What would you buy a house for one person versus another? It just magnifies when you're talking companies.
Definitely.
And, you know, also look for resources on employee ownership. There's the ESOP Association, the NCEO, the Minnesota Center for Employee Ownership. I'm involved in all those organizations. Just some resources to get some information on what employee ownership means and is it a fit for you.
Any final thoughts or tips of advice for our listeners?
No, I think Kyla summed it up well in terms, you know, I always just tell people to consider it at least, or learn more about it. There's a lot of great resources out there, you know, conferences that you can go to for a couple of days. You know, they do regional or local opportunities like that, and you learn a ton, get connected with professionals like Kyla or other people that are in similar situations. And I think it's just something a lot of people maybe don't know about or aren't considering. You know, and it is a great option. And I think the last thing is I just go back to what we were talking about earlier. And I keep going back to chapter 4 in your book, where it's evaluating the company. Mm-hmm. Because I will say that not every company is maybe structured in a way that makes sense for an ESOP. For us, it was a really good fit. You know, like you talked about the companies where everything is reliant on one owner, it could be really challenging, you know. So I think that those are all things to consider.
Yeah, definitely good advice, because you're right, not every company is a candidate. However, I think there are probably some companies out there that could be and think that maybe they're not,
yes.
Right? So
yep.
To Kyla's point, get some education on what, you know, what are the criteria? And then once you know whether you're a candidate or not, then, you know, you can move forward with learning a little bit more and and making good educated decisions. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Kyla, thank you so much for being on the show and bringing your client, Andy. I really appreciate having you two here. And for our listeners, we appreciate you being here too and listening and downloading. If you found value in this episode, please share it with your friends and colleagues and join us again next time.